This is CliffCentral.com.
Happy public holiday. Welcome to a special edition of The Bounce Show. I thought I'd do something a little bit different today, mostly because I'm not actually in the Joburg studios. This is me talking from the past. Today is essentially the future. Wow, it's like Inception. So transformation is a big deal right now, and I'm not just saying that because it's taking all the headlines. It's just because it's a big deal in that it should be discussed by people who actually care and not just people looking to either get retweets, political favor, or some sort of sympathy for being a liberal. Now, my big intention was to have three guests today. Unfortunately, one of the guests doesn't want to maybe run into hardship difficulties with his current employer, so he unfortunately couldn't make it, which is a real shame. We'll leave it at that. But I've got Simi Aref with me.
Yes. So you've called the comedian Ben.
Well, you're so much more than a comedian to me, Simi.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
Firstly, you're a passionate sports fanatic.
I am.
You're very knowledgeable.
Thank you.
And hugely available and reliable. These are all the right adjectives, I think, to get you here.
Yes.
So I want to talk transformation, and this isn't just going to be a one-off-one show. I think this is going to be a series of things where we should engage with various people, because a lot of the time in this country, you have an opinion, someone will shout you down and insult your mother, and that's end of.
Yes.
We need to engage these things. We need to get the best ideas, right? Like, since this Fikile Mbalula's speech last week about banning the federations, right? I've been doing quite a lot of reading. I've been doing quite a lot of tweeting as well and ranting. But hey, look, I'm a normal guy.
Yes.
I'm going to say
you're a normal guy with a Twitter account that has followers. You want people to see your things.
I'm going to say some things that maybe aren't the most measured, but I think my heart's in the right place. And by doing this podcast today, I think it proves my heart's in the right case. But where we will start is where this whole matter is. Now, people saw what Fikile Mbalula said, and they reacted on that.
Yeah.
I don't think everyone actually really had a good go at what he was saying and how he said it. So please bear with us in the beginning. We need to play the entire clip of his speech. Mm-hmm. I say the entire thing. It'll be around 8-9 minutes, but please bear with me because you need to understand where this all stems from. Okay, so when people start saying, oh, the country's gone to crap, political meddling, blah, 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 just hear Fikile out, because what he's saying is that this didn't just happen overnight. He didn't just wake up one morning and say,
decide, hey guys,
I haven't trended in a while.
Yes.
There's been a report in place, right? All these federations, this is no surprise to them. Ali Baka had an article recently where he said, I'm totally behind Fikile in this because I myself warned Saru, things need to change. The government's not happy. We need to turn these things around. Mm. And Saru being Saru, they were too busy with Iriru's money or whatever else they were doing.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, just trying to extend Hany Kamea's contract.
Yeah.
So we need to listen to the speech, okay? So I'm going to play this to you now, and then Simi and I are going to discuss a whole hotbed of topics, and I've written so much down.
There's so many things. I can tell you there are two pages worth of thoughts and ideas, and maybe one of them will be good enough for this podcast.
I've even written capital letters in certain places.
Bro, you've underlined things. You've taken your life seriously.
Okay, cool. Let's get into Fikile's speech, and we're right back, and we're going to discuss all these things, so bear with us.
These federations and sports bodies are basketball, chess, table tennis, softball, volleyball, boxing, hockey, gymnastics, swimming, baseball, rowing, bowls, jack ski, and tennis. You will recall, ladies and gentlemen, that the transformation status report referred to above covered Athletics South Africa, Cricket South Africa, South African Football Association, Netball South Africa, and the South African Rugby Union. These big five federations provided the EPG Secretariat with information and data that was analyzed, and thus enabling the EPG to interpret the data in line with our multidimensional scorecard embedded in our transformation charter. It is on this basis that the EPG made its findings and recommendations to the Minister of Sport and Recreation, South Africa. The findings and recommendations were announced at a public event in May 2015. Thereafter, the five federations had, out of their own volition, signed a memorandum of agreement with the Department of Sports and Recreation, South Africa, in 2015. The memorandum of understanding is premised on the transformation barometer with clear and concrete transformation targets and goals over the next 5 years. The memorandum of understanding further delineates roles and responsibilities of each party to the agreement and stipulates punitive measures to be taken in the event of non-compliance. I take this opportunity to remind you what these punitive measures entail in the event of Federation failing to meet its own set transformation targets. It is within my right and prerogative to consider applying any of the following penalties. One, I may suspend or withdraw government funding to the said federation due to non-compliance. I may withdraw government recognition of the particular federation as a national federation, whereafter I will publish such a decision in the government gazette. Thirdly, in essence, I may revoke the privilege of a federation to host and bid for major and mega event, international tournaments in the Republic, and withdraw recognition of the said federation. I may withdraw the federation's opportunity to be awarded national kailas via SASCOC to players who participate under the auspices of the particular federation in order to represent the Republic internationally and nationally. I may terminate the relationship and any cooperation between SRSA and the said federation due to non-compliance. Finally, I may withdraw political support and endorsements for sponsorships. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm applying these measures informed by the urgent task for the sports sector to reconstruct the fragmented and deeply discriminatory sport and recreation landscape by establishing a unified sports system that is underpinned by the principles of democracy, equity, transparency, demographic representation, access, and increased participation. The third EPG report reminds us and confirms that social reconstruction of our sport and recreation system has linkages to economic development in the context of global economies and competitiveness. This report offers respite from the suffocating prism through which we as South Africans view our past and present. At this hour of destiny, South Africa needs more than ever before sport for development and peace. This report is about the future of South African sport, provisioning and quality of opportunities to all sport-loving people of our beloved country. The Transformation Charter is the lodestar of the sport movement that draws our attention to the immediate and inevitable necessity for the sport system to transform both moral and strategic imperatives. Morally, because it is the right thing to do considering the grave injustices of the past, and strategically because of the reality that 84% of the country's under 18 old population grouping is Black African and only 16% is white, colored and Indian. To ignore this strategic reality from sustainability perspective alone will be suicidal. Thus, the reasons for sport organization to transform rapidly have not only become compelling, it had become fundamental.
I think we can kind of leave it there on the word fundamental, because he also then talks about population demographics and racial breakdown of the country. So the first question, Simeon, I think we need to get onto is, did he do anything wrong here?
Because the
knee-jerk reaction was, oh, this guy, how dare he?
I don't think he did anything massively wrong. I think if you are interested in sports and you understand how sports administration and transformation works, you kind of know that this is a thing that has to happen. We can't continue to watch cricket games and say, are these the four best guys of color? Why? Where are all these other people of color? And so I kind of like, if I had to put it in a percentage, I'm with him 60 to 70% and I'm against him 30 to 40%. I don't think banning makes the sudden everybody go, huh? We can't have a cricket or rugby World Cup. What? Yeah, we better get these blacks, Indians, and coloureds in, hey? I don't think it happens like that.
Well, the funny thing about that is that this is why I wanted to play the whole clip, because he actually suggests there's three kinds of ways for disciplinary action to take place. And this wasn't even a slap on the wrist. Let's look at it. Cricket, right? you think you get a World Cup? Yeah, you go ask India, Australia, and England. And they're going to tell you good stuff. Rugby World Cup, it goes back to England, and then whoever's got money after that. It'll sooner go to Australia than it comes here.
Yes.
I mean, and what international athletes are we going to host? What international netball are we going to host?
Yeah.
It means nothing.
I mean, it's absolutely nothing.
So if anything, he hasn't actually punished anyone.
Mm.
But this is another thing it comes into, is that, is it such a token gesture that it's almost offensive? Because you think of it like this. Right, okay, so these guys have failed. They've done badly, right?
Yeah.
But now you've threatened them with something which could then lead to greater window dressing, which is not going to solve anything. So where you said you probably 70% behind him, I'm going on the other side and saying this is 70% wrong. Okay, firstly, speak out. Do stuff. We want you to be doing your job. That's great. That's brilliant. When it says the sports minister did this and it involves sport, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Doesn't involve Kevin Hart. Doesn't involve snubbing
Floyd Mayweather.
Brilliant. If there's a headline with Fekir's name on it and it's got something to do with sport, I'm all for it. Doesn't involve Gupta employment, nothing.
Yeah.
Great. I'm so happy. But when it comes to this, what is going to be learned from this? What's going to be based upon this that's going to change anything? Nothing really. You know, these federations, they do their own thing, right? Because money comes involved, a lot of corruption involved. Fekir says, we need this. They go, sure. Doesn't happen. Fekir then says this, and they go, sure, nothing happens. Okay, at least he's taken a stand here.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's my 30%.
Yes.
He's done something. But the dangers of this now, I still don't believe he's touched on anything that's tangible around transformation. Like, what is the plan? Now, there's so many different things that have happened in this last sort of 10 days, even prior to this, which I want to touch on, and then they're all offshoot into various things, right?
Yeah.
So let's just get into, before we get back into this whole transformation thing, and I do believe I've got a solution. I mean, everyone does.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is my show.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I want to hear your solution.
Okay, let's first touch on the Sapiro cartoon. As you can see, he was given the job.
Yeah.
Now, we've already had the conversation. He's the right man for the job. Good. Congratulations. Good luck to him. Then Sapiro has a cartoon showing him diving for two balls.
Yep.
One's winning and one's transformation. The balls are going different directions. No chance you can catch both.
Mm.
The cartoon was straight away seen by many as being racist.
Yeah.
To think that transformation equals failure.
Yes.
Because that's how all these things are interpreted. Or you can interpret that he's been given two different agendas. Because the winning, the transformation, that kind of stuff. Look, I'm of the opinion that transformation is the greatest thing that could happen to this country.
Yeah.
Because I prefer it as seeing it as excellence, right?
That Sapiro cartoon, first of all, when I saw it, I was like racist. And then Sapiro came out, it's like, I don't know how people can interpret that. Bro, you've got two balls in the air. One says one thing and the other says the other thing. You kind of have to choose one. The thing is that what I don't understand with that cartoon is that, like, who doesn't want their sports team to win?
Well, nobody.
So, of course, that's one ball you want to catch. And at the same time, you want to do it in the correct way. And to be honest, I'm not a big rugby fan. But if I remember correctly, there were a lot more white people in the team that lost when they played the Rugby World Cup now.
Mm.
So maybe they do need some transformation.
Oh, yeah. Now, it's going to be quite difficult for us to keep on the same sort of path here to get all these issues in here. Now, the Sapiro cartoon, I think interpretation now, it's gone.
Like, yeah.
Personally, I think that what irked me the most about Alistair Coetzee's induction into this job, basically, was the fact that it was all about Fekir and Balut having a big talk.
Yeah.
And the fact that the CEO and the MD of SARU hate each other.
Yeah.
And all of that, for me, obscured what's really going on. So when I saw that cartoon, I thought to myself, you know what, he's kind of got a point, because transformation isn't about transformation. There's so much more deep undercurrents around there that can detract a team from winning, players of color or not, or whatever it may be. So that was my take on that. But hey, we all need to discuss these things, because ultimately it can be seen as racist.
Yes.
Which it was. Many people did feel that way. He then had a second cartoon, which I thought was complete shit. It was Fekir and Balut standing there with both balls, and then it says, we can achieve both with some creativity.
Yeah, but it kind of feels like...
What was that?
It's like after someone has slapped your wrist, and then you're like, oh, well, okay, guys, I'll make it right. And then you're just like, now it's a shit cartoon.
Exactly. So then you look at that. Now, the first cartoon, whatever it had going for it.
Yeah, it's now just taken away.
Null and void. Hanneke Meyer, during his tenure, one of the things that said, and is still ringing today, is that he said he doesn't see color. So for him, it's not about not picking Siya Kolisi.
Yeah.
It's about not picking Kolisi as a black person. It's picking him as a Springbok.
Yes.
So that was also a murky area. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is that you often see people saying, look, I don't care what the team looks like. They must just win.
Yes, they would pick them on merit, eh? Got to pick them on merits.
Thing is, there's danger in that as well, which we need to touch on as well. And then there's the other comment from Jacques Cullis saying how he's ashamed to be a South African on the back of this.
Jacques Cullis is a national fuckboy after that tweet. What a fuckboy.
If you just saw the thread that came after that, people are saying cheap flights to Australia, piss off.
I killed him. I fucking killed him. I literally zoomed in on his bio that said South African cricketer. And it's like, explain for us, please.
Now, the thing about Jacques, he's a sporting legend. There's no doubt about that. Just look at stats.
Stats are good.
I mean,
greatest all-rounder of all time.
Let's try to keep the feeling out of this about. But he might not be the sharpest and most media savvy person, right? He's a very quiet and to his own kind of guy. He'll admit that. That's his thing. So he was speaking out his intention, and this is my interpretation again. Interpretation is a dangerous word here. Mm. He was talking about political bullying, which his next tweet.
He said there should be no politics in sports.
His next tweet revealed. The problem was, in his next tweet, he said his foundation has helped like 40 black kids.
Oh.
Which, again, you got to think, the wording there. Because now it's like, if someone calls you a racist or whatever.
Like, I've got black friends, guys.
And then, exactly.
That's exactly it. Like I've got movies, so many black friends.
It's like some of my best friends' black. You know?
It's like, no. You see, where I disagree with his tweet, because his tweet was, I feel embarrassed to call myself South African sometimes. No room for politics in sports. And I just think, what planet has this guy been on? Because
there's naivety in there.
Yes, because there's always been politics in sports. I mean, we weren't allowed to play cricket during apartheid because of apartheid. That is a direct consequence of politics in sports. So he's never lived in a time where there was no politics in sports. So what is he talking about? So I'm just like, sometimes, and I don't want to take away from the great cricketer that he is, but maybe he's not a great intellectual.
No, that's why he's a great cricketer.
Yes. He's like very good at batting and bowling and has really good statistics. But maybe you should not be even, because when you get comments like that from people like that, people jump onto it. And then the next thing you find out, there's 100 million trolls there going, hey guys, Shark is right. There is no room for politics. Not a valid argument.
But also it's just like showing, because I mean, we're in a very tough place right now where, social media is 10% of life.
Yeah.
Also, you must realize this. Trust me, people
You're giving it so much, 10%.
People care more about unemployment than they do about racism in this country. Okay? That's a fact.
Yes.
People are hungry. They don't care who's what. Okay.
Yes,
so,
not at all.
So let's keep that in context as well. But if you look at people will jump on the bandwagon without going, you know what? This is what they say when they say white privilege. Comments like Jacques Cullis' tweet. And you kind of go, well, I can't defend that. Like, you're kind of right. I can see where this is going, and you're entitled to interpret like that because it kind of does sound like that.
Yes.
Everyone starts with an agenda, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get back to the fact this whole thing, this is all happening the last week. A lot of conversation is stemming forth. But my biggest problem with Fikile Mbalula, what he's doing is he's doing what all politicians do, and it starts at the top where everyone focuses.
Yeah.
Now, transformation, it needs to be turned around. So, if he's going on this whole thing that you might get funds taken away, because the thing is, this ban, it could be the first of many. In the clip earlier, we said the different facets of it. This is like the, hi guys, I'm kind of in your face ban.
Yeah.
Doesn't really affect anybody. Although, if we lose the Cape Town Sevens, there's a lot of buggers that are going to be upset about that. Jeepers, you take away the
Cape Town Sevens, eh? Brother.
You don't sanction rugby championship.
Wow, brother, we're going to be done, eh?
I mean,
we're done.
Sorry is going to be... Anyway. So if we're going to be saying, right, you guys need to shape this up in the next year, or you're screwed, or bans, okay? What can you do in a year?
Nothing.
Basically nothing. You can manipulate and you can move around.
Yeah.
Square into circle kind of peg.
Yeah.
Analogy.
But then you know what you'll get? You'll get like these weird, like the weirdest things happen. Like, and you know, because people won't use... They won't go under the aegis of transformation. They'll just be like, yeah, guys, these are actually the best players. Then you'll find like a guy who's just a spin bowler, like batting at number three because they need to fill up color numbers.
Well, yeah, when Bear didn't becomes captain.
Yes, there we go. That's a big problem. That's what you scared me when you sent me that WhatsApp. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's so right about Behadin. He's 100% right about Behadin.
Okay, so now if you're looking at a year, there's not a lot of good can happen here. So I think it's up to Fikile Mbalula now because, again, like I said, I want to give us every chance in the world. Personally, I think he is a professional failure.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just look at all the things he's done, it doesn't help that he is the poster boy for transformation in sport in this country. This is another problem that I can't help but feel. So if people want to interpret things as being racist, whatever, I think I'm entitled to interpret this guy as a bit of a, maybe not the best person.
Yeah.
It's like Joseph Fritzl Daddy Daycare.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't kind of want him to be the guy. This guy, his comments about Bafana being losers, then it's the we did pay 10 million, or we didn't pay 10 million, diasporas.
You see where Flikile goes wrong for me, Fleeks. Because you see, Fleeks, back in the day, and a lot of cadres will tell you this, Fleeks was a guy who, he likes parties. He likes things like that. Yeah. So, like, if you look at his Twitter, he's a very party guy. He's like, he loves chilling as on a golf cart with looking at his phone, or going chilling with Floyd Mayweather. But he brings that attitude into a political realm, and it doesn't work because you expect a totally different thing from a politician.
See, that's what put him on the map, though, when he was staying there going, Murula.
Yeah, Murula.
Before the World Cup. And everyone was thinking, hey, this guy might actually care.
Bro, at the Cricket South Africa World Cup farewell last year, before they went to Australia and New Zealand, I was at the press conference, mm-hmm. and I saw the guy did, as a comedian, I saw a guy do the greatest 7-minute set I've ever seen. And then, like, murdered, like, gags every, like, you know what he's talking about? But now we've got Alan Donald on our team, so, you know, we're not going to have a repeat of the 99 World Cup, and he's not helping New Zealand, like, gags, people loving it. Then he went outside to the masses and did that same set and killed, like, on a huge level. So he's good at doing those things. Mm. But I don't think, like, where does he manage to wedge his real political opinion and the gags that he just wants to do? And that's where he, that's why we think he's a joke sometimes.
But he's great in that. The thing is, though, we're past the stage of identifying what the problem is. Okay, we know what it is.
Yeah.
And this is also a good time to say there isn't actually a transformation discussion. It needs to happen. So when people go, oh, yeah, but there's got to be merit and transformation's cuck, and then they start throwing in things like BEE and all this kind of stuff. Like, I see these things. General perception out there is sometimes very warped. There is no discussion. Transformation is the future, because I believe it should actually be seen as excellence. Just think, if you've got 1,000 people who are making up a team, now you've got 10,000 people.
It's only
you would want to tap in the 10,000 people, right?
Yes.
I mean, even if you get a 10% better team.
Exactly.
So there's no doubt about it. Transformation is the only way we can ever beat the All Blacks. Mm-hmm. It's the only way we can ever do anything. Transformation is actually our trump card in this country. Mm. It's our secret weapon. It's what other countries look at and go, shit. Just imagine we had resources like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Okay, so.
No, exactly. Did you see that Bob Skinstead tweet? Where he tweeted a little comment from a guy in New Zealand who was just like, hey, my name's Errol, and like, I just want to let you South Africans know that we don't like this transformation thing because we want the best team to face the All Blacks so we can, because I like my rugby and I think we should play the strongest South African team. Then I was like, what?
So what did Bob reply?
Nothing. Bob's like, good answer, Errol. Good on you. And I was he's like, shut up, Bob. You're also another guy that should not speak about it.
Okay, yeah. So I think it's I'm going to share some stuff on my blog this week about, or just on Twitter, really great articles you should read. And one of them was in Daily Maverick.
Yeah.
And it was literally transform the transformation mindset, because that's the thing. We've got to look at transformation and go, guys, this is actually the future.
It is the future.
This is such a cool thing for us to do, but that's not what Fikile is doing. His transformation thing is, right, we need to fix this. We need to get more black people in. You know, the whole long-term goal, there was a slide that came up, and it had this really odd thing. It looked like a bit of a penis.
Yes.
Because there was a bulge there, and then it culminated towards the top.
And it was a phallic symbol.
It was very phallic, but the thing is, you look bottom right, the end goal was to have, I think, 9% white in future.
I don't think... Okay. When I think about it, I always think, with regards to transformation, I go, it's always access. It comes down to, do I have the access to play the sport? So when I look at something like soccer, I go, the accessibility of playing soccer is so easy because it requires one ball. Mm-hmm. That's it. If you look at, and I don't have any evidence to back this theory up, it could be a bullshit theory or it could just legit be an observation. So I go, how come there aren't as many South African black batsmen who are lifting up their bat to celebrate a 50 or 100?
Yeah.
Because fundamentally, it's tough to have cricket equipment. It's an expensive thing.
Pads, bat, thigh pad, box, gloves,
helmets. But if you're a bowler, the only thing you need is a ball.
Mm.
So it becomes the accessibility of that. So you look at, are we even providing enough access to transform? And that's, for me, that's a grassroots level thing. That's where you have to start, not even at schools. You have to, like, you literally have to bring people in.
Yeah, sure. We'll elaborate that in a second. But just this whole thing of, like, I'm very tired of having the same arguments, right? Mostly because I've got, I don't know, ADHD when it comes to boring things like this, whatever it is. But we, getting back to the thing about, we know the problem is that sports aren't transforming. We got that, okay? It's a plan B. Oh, sorry, step two. What is it going forward? Now, when I look at where this chart says long-term plan, 9% white, I think it was like 3% Indians, and then it's like 9% generic black, and then the rest has got to be African. And they got murky for me there. And that's when I started thinking, you know what, Fikile, this isn't good. And now you have actually screwed this up. I'm for you making actions. But so we want to make sports available for all people, right? We're taking away the discrimination thing, which has killed this country.
Yeah.
And we all know this. Again, these are things that we all know. So if you're telling me, Fikile, and this imminent persons group report.
Yeah.
Very interesting name, by the way. It's the EPG. Anyway, so if this means that, okay, cool, we're going to transform and we're going to keep transforming to the point where we only want 9% white. That to me isn't a solution. That just sounds like discrimination again.
It is. It's listen, I wouldn't go as far because, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, it's reverse racism. Well, I don't really think so. I just think that his numbers and his percentages are, they're unbalanced. There's no possibility that you're going to have a team of, I'm a big cricket fan, so I always bring down everything to cricket, of 9% of white people in the near future.
A player, basically. Let's look at that.
It's where would it happen? How would it happen? But I don't see it happening.
But this is just it, right? So what he's saying is, again, this is, you've got to listen to the entire clip at the beginning of this. You've got to draw into this. He's saying the demographics of this country is this.
Yes.
Where was the time where that was voted upon that was going to be the be-all and end-all how we judge sport?
It can't be.
Because, again, and every sport's different as well. So how did that become
and also
the
would
standard?
It, would it not be – why is he choosing the 11 people that are playing cricket? Why is it not the whole of the cricket fraternity? Because, I mean, you could have – let's say there's 1,000 people that play cricket domestically and 80% of them – they fit his demographics.
Yeah.
But the top 11 get to play. I mean, it's for me, it's just like, why is it just the national team specifically? Let's use the whole community to find out these demographics. That's why my dream is to have 11 Indians.
No, but you're not allowed to, because it's going to be 3%
Indians.
So even if there's...
Hashim Amla's right hand.
Exactly. Next to, strapped onto Bayadin's shoulder.
Yes.
But there we go. This is how comical this whole thing is. That just let's just say, Hashim Amla, okay, has more kids. Let's just say, like that Robert Dupree guy in rugby, he's got like three sons playing Super Rugby. I mean, what the hell's up with that?
Yeah.
So let's just say, Hashim Amla, because it's so comical, let's not stop. Let's say Hash has five sons.
Yes.
And they're all
cricketers.
Indian people.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how they class into this whole thing.
Yeah.
And they're the best. That's the top five. Opening bats, not a five. That's it in all formats. But according to this, we can't have that because we're going to be 3% Indian because the country's only 3% Indian. So, Mr. Amla, even though you've dedicated your entire life to bringing up your kids to be absolutely brilliant and provide for the country like you did, I'm sorry, but they can't play.
I don't see it happening. I legit don't see it happening. I do agree that we need transformation. I do agree that we need accessibility into sports, but I don't see the numbers turning out that output. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. It doesn't. It's not feasible in my mind.
So we're in agreement with that. It's not feasible. What I'm kind of going towards, which would make a lot of sense, right? If you are serious about transformation and you create a transformation system that works by sheer numbers, okay? Now, this is where you've got to understand what maths is. I'm not saying he doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm going with you.
That would be risque if I said that.
Yes.
Now, on just sheer numbers, right? So we're going back to 88% of the country being black. Mm-hmm. On sheer numbers, if your transformation is good enough and you're doing all the things in the right steps and you're nurturing people from step to step, it's one thing saying there's 10,000 kids that are playing cricket who are 10 years old. Okay, cool. Where are they at 12? Oh, I don't know. They were playing at 10. I thought that was enough.
Yeah.
No, like when they get to 16 and they discover chicks and booze.
Yes.
Are they still playing? Well, I don't know. They were 12. The voices were high-pitched, but they were in. So
yeah.
No, okay. What happens when they're 18 And now they got to think, well, shit, you know, do I get a job as a barman or do I keep going back to this academy?
Mm.
Where are they then? Every single one of these steps here is integral to making it to the top there, because it's not no accident. You know, yeah. Just think like, okay, well, I saw four guys at Craven Week and they were black and they were fly-offs.
Mm.
Why is it that the whites, there's a white guy for the Bulls at the moment?
Yes.
It's not like it. But if your system is good enough and you've got such a great feeder system, which we've got, and such great numbers that we got, then surely you got to have some faith in the system. And that's where you then start judging.
But do we even have a good system?
Of course we don't. But this is my whole point, is that this transformation by saying, right, federations, you've done this, therefore you get fined for this. It's almost like you're just showing that you're either ignorant or you don't actually care whatsoever.
Yeah.
And this is the big worry for me when he makes these big outlandish statements. So I think what he did was wrong in that respect. And these federations, they need to be punished. But what's the next step? Because these guys, these are crafty guys, right?
Mm.
Look at all these federations that come with these big sponsors. You know how they have crooked and hooked to get these sponsorships for these multi-million rand things. Do you not think these guys will do the same hooking and crooking
100%
to get certain people
100%.
So that they can then bid for events?
100%. I just think the only way that you change it is by changing the system that I don't think we even have in place at this moment in time. I don't think we have a proper transformation system in place. I don't think anyone, if any federation comes out and says, well, this is our policy, I don't think they're implementing the policy properly. I don't think they're going to they're not practically going to try and enforce a policy that they have about transformation.
Well, there isn't. So with this current system in place, right, now we've got to go back to the kids talking about grassroots, because it's the only way this conversation can ever start and finish. So you're a 10-year-old white kid right now.
Yeah.
You've got a ball in your hand. You're pretty decent. You can definitely beat the batsman for pace at the age of 10. Yes. You've got talent, huh?
Swinging the ball in.
Just so happens you're at a good school already. There's lots of great cricket schools in this country.
Yeah.
And you're going to go through the ranks because your dad's going to support you. He also likes cricket.
Yeah.
Became an alcoholic at 19 there.
Yeah.
You know, like you do.
Great, right.
And he didn't go. So he'll obviously push that child. Okay.
Yes.
So this kid's future is looking pretty good. But the thing is, he knows he's never going to play for his country. Ever, no matter what he does, on the basis of this long-term plan, he's not going to do it. So what's going to happen to him? He's not going to be too motivated, is he? But he's going to be as complacent as all hell about the black kids that he sees, because he knows they've got a future.
Mm.
So hugely unfair for this kid. I would say even more unfair for the black kids as well, because now you've taken problems of the past and you're projecting it on the future generations.
Yeah.
Because tell you what, you go to schools nowadays. Like I know, I've got nieces and nephews. You go to school nowadays. They seem pretty cool, huh? They seem pretty mixed. It seems quite natural. I tell you what, given that system, the future is going to be better, because that's what always has to be, is better. You are now basically saying you implement these things around the idea of transformation. You're then going to be corrupting the next generation on the same way, the same wrongs, because that's what it comes down to. So when they say transformation, it's very possible that it could just be another way of describing discrimination.
You see where I look at your example and I say, where it comes from a different perspective. You have to look at it like this as well. That white kid that's going to not bowl for South Africa, the fact is that he still has an opportunity. The only reason why he has that opportunity is because of previous grievances in the past. I mean, he has access to go to a very good cricket school.
I'm totally willing to concede there's generalization. It goes back to the Jacques Callas argument.
Yeah, but I'm just saying so we just need to... For me, it's so much more about access than it is just about transformation. I cannot harp on that point like anymore. I'm emphasizing it. It's like the fact that he has the opportunity to go to a good cricket school. Man, I would have loved to have gone to a great cricket school. I would have. I went to a school that was really just good at one thing and was not cricket. That was very good at rugby. And I was like, I'm not a rugby guy. It was like, I would love... You know what I saw the other day? Okay, so my girlfriend's brother, right? He's good at golf, flipping good at golf. And he didn't get selected for the first team. And his dad went and complained to the school. And the school was like, you know what, you are right. Yeah, the coach made a bit of a boo-boo here. He should be in the first team. And I was just like, I would have loved my dad. My dad didn't even know about that. The fact that I was in a cricket team was good enough for my dad. He didn't know about where this cricket thing could go. And that's because of access. It's all because of access. If that black child could get to the same school as that white kid and they're both talented, then yeah, maybe that's a good thing for transformation.
That is. I'm all for that. But do you not think that if these things are set hard and fast in stone, that kids are now going to see things differently because they all want to play, right?
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, how I don't think that's quite the issue. It's more like if this is going to be in place, what is it telling kids of the future? Rather than saying...
No, you're right. You're right over there.
What we're going to do is... and that's why I think transformation might become a dangerous word.
Yeah.
It's like quotas. It was the most derogatory term ever. I mean, just imagine you got to the stage and someone calls you a quota.
Yeah, I think also as a person of color, if you're going to be like, well, am I only being selected because of the color? Is it not because I'm just really good at this thing?
Yeah. You know, just think, like, there's so many guys who have been dogged by that statement.
I mean, yeah.
Still to this day, there are bigots out there that think Philander's a quota player. And I could never get over that, but there are still people to this day who still believe that.
I think in the last two seasons, he's definitely been a quota player.
So what I was thinking about, Sammy, is that we look at it like this, right? Now, people keep harping on how much money that Ficky Lett pisses away on these Razzmatazz Sports Awards. And they're
right to harp on that.
And the thing is, they are, because 2 years, over 100 million rand, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
You know that someone like Saru has a surplus of 33 million rand? Operating profits, 33 million rand.
33
okay?
million.
Now, that is an organization which is there for rugby. It's not there to make people rich.
Mm.
It's like FIFA. Like, why? Yeah. Some, anyway. So, there's money in the system, right? Now, there is money that needs to go into different places. What if Fekila were to then say, right, okay, we've made the first thing. We're making you all aware. This is no laughing matter anymore, which is the first thing I'll applaud him on, because people are saying, say what you want about Fekila. He's got this on the map now, which I totally behind. So if he says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to create an excellence academy, an excellence system around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to work with federations. He'll probably need to employ some more people,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. Again, I don't mind if resources are going there, as long as these guys don't have blue light brigades.
Yes.
Fine. So he's going to have to employ a few more people. If he has a transformation committee, go ahead.
Have it.
Brilliant. If that money can get channeled in the right direction, right? And now we've got a database of excellence. Because, like we said, if you give the example of hypothetical, if you can get 10 times as many people playing a sport, even if you've got a 10% chance of being better, take it all day. So how about having a transformation excellence database where you look at kids and they stay in the system? Now, this might sound a bit crude, but you know, like in the wild, endangered species, right? They get tagged, they get monitored, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Why can't we show interest in kids? Because this is a motivation thing as well, right? Now, we all know that as you grow up in school, there was always those kids who were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing now? They're changing tires somewhere. Yeah.
They're working in my favorite bar.
That's not even a race thing. That's across the board for everyone. Mm. There was lack of motivation, lack of direction, lack of stimulus towards what to do. If you can create academies that are going to stimulate this kind of stuff, right? And yesterday I read an article about such an academy. If we can get money channeled into that, now we're saying, right, transformation. Yeah, we've got kids. Look at our under 10s. Look at our under 12s. Look at our under 15s. You leave the top part of this. And I know that the counter argument always is, yeah, but if black kids can't see black kids in the Springboks, they won't want to play for the Springboks.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's truth in it, but that can't be your argument.
Yeah, no, that can't.
You can't pin everything on that.
No, but if we're going to say these kids are younger and they're growing up in a multicultural, diverse society, are they even still going, yo, there's not enough blacks in the Springboks? I've never actually heard a kid say that ever. He's just like, I just don't like rugby.
Yeah.
But I've never heard the kids so specific going, yeah, Dad, I don't like the box. Why? I'll count it. There's not many blacks here. Kid has ever said that.
I mean, I don't really care too much politics because I always believe it's full of people who didn't get real jobs in
life.
But the ANC does play a lot on the race card.
Yes.
Because it definitely helps sell a story.
Yeah.
It definitely helps sell an agenda. And that's just my own personal opinion.
I think that school of excellence that you're talking about sounds like a great idea, but is it feasible? Is it has it been done before? I don't know.
Well, it's basically just making a giant academy. That's all you're doing. But the thing is, you're showing an interest. And just imagine coaches, right? Now, everyone hops on about players. Peter de Villiers is going to Namibia. Now, whether you love him or not, the guy was the Springbok coach, right?
Yeah.
He had the biggest job in SA rugby. That's 4 years of experience that Johan Ackerman doesn't have, Alistair Kutsia doesn't have. You name it. There's some good coaches without that. He learned stuff there, right? Whether it was politics, whatever it was, the guy has a pedigree.
Yeah.
You can't just throw that away. The guy can't get a job anywhere. He's gone to Namibia.
Yeah, sometimes...
You know he's getting paid there.
What?
Fuck all, I
really?
Guess.
Really? I mean, maybe he's not. Maybe he's getting paid a very good salary.
I hardly doubt it, but talent lost, okay? And the other, I mean, I tweeted that this morning. Yeah. I was given three or four other names that came out of coaches that just can't find a job. And these aren't white guys.
Yeah.
These are coaches that should be in the transformation setup, okay? Who understand players, who understand transformation, who understand.
But maybe they also aren't in it. You know, they set up that commission for the pro to find out why the pros do so badly at World Cups. And when
fun commission,
and it's got like Franz Opina in it, and you know everybody's like, why is Franz Opina and Adam Bacher there? I mean, and then the answer that I got from Altaf Kazi, who's the head of Cricket South Africa, is like, because a lot of guys turn it down. They approach a lot of people and they just turn it down. Maybe Peter de Villiers has just turned down things that he didn't want to do. Maybe he doesn't want to help, with even though he has all the experience and talent.
Well, look, he is definitely a man who's got some things to say. I've got a little clip here just to kind of bring him into conversation here.
One thing that's outstanding, and it's nobody can argue it, is the fact that we prepare our players, but are we really ready? Do we make the playing fields level? Do we give them the opportunities? Do we really go into the deepest part of their soul just to make them aware of the fact that they can make a difference in our country?
So if you've got a guy who wants to say things like that, I think there's a guy who wants to be in it. I don't know. He seems to me that he...
It does sound like that.
He's got something to give, right?
It does sound like that.
So if we have to have this academy of excellence spread across the country, a guy like Peter de Villiers, he's going to take the 12 to 15-year-olds and head that department, right? And then all the kids in that department in rugby. You create these little silos. And before you know it, you haven't just got two or three players of color. You've got like potentially a squad that you can go on. And suddenly it's like, it's not even about color anymore. It's like, well, have you seen how great this team is? All the people who originally said, I don't care what color the thing is, they'll actually mean it. Because when people say, I don't care what the color of the team is, they're just kind of tired of talking about the topic.
Yeah.
But how cool to actually mean it, to get to a point in South Africa where you go, geez, the squad's coming up now. Have you seen this guy?
Yeah.
Have you seen this guy? Have you seen this guy? And the thing is, it's because of excellence. And it's because of merit. Peter Vitt is talking there about being on the same playing field and preparing them properly. All these little silos will work into a big team. And if it is so be that you'll still have, I don't know, six white guys in the Springboks, so what? If you've got, you can never have this 80%, 9%, this kind of thing.
I don't think that 80%, 9% is going to happen.
That's not real life.
It isn't. Well, if it's the correct percentage of the country, it's not in my small little group that I'm hanging out with. I know it sounds weird, but just like, I don't see it.
The only place where those racial demographics work is in Castle Lager adverts. Yeah. When the Oak is in a group of friends, you've got an Indian guy, you've got a colored guy.
And it's like, they're all there. It's like, oh, and there's all our other black friends as well.
Yeah, and there's our other black friends who all seem to laugh and all our jokes, even though it's not really a joke. And then there's one white guy who's of a clumsy.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to save that for marketing for a product, okay?
Yes.
It all comes together and stuff. It doesn't come together. Life happens, and it happens in various silos. So there's got to be faith, and I think as an ultimate plan here is that the next step is having faith in the system. So people say, well, there's no system. Great, make it.
Make it, yeah. I was actually about to interject and say, maybe we just don't have a good enough system.
Because by saying you need to have 88% this, it means you've got no faith in the system.
Exactly.
Because all you're doing is you're putting in steps to make sure that something happens. It's like, so many analogies come to mind. It's just saying, you know what, we need to make this population here very rich. So what we can do is we can give them all money.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in a month's time? That you've not taught them how to be wealthy. You've not taught them how to be strong or clever with things. You haven't really given anything back. You've now got a short-term solution, but longer-term problems. So that's as simple as that. Build something that you can have faith in. Build something you can have a lot of pride in. And I don't think there's a lot more that we can say on this topic right now other than just kind of pinch it off like that.
You know, Ben, that is a good plan that you have. And I literally feel that they should take plans like that and execute them because it's a good idea. It's something that works. Clearly, our system is not working at this moment.
I do want to finish off by saying, and like I said, there's a lot of literature out there. There's a lot of people who are getting their voices heard through various ways because that's what the internet does.
Yeah.
Let me just type this in. Sorry, we're in the secondary studio here and things are out of kilter. Like there's a mic here. I've got to reach my laptop.
You know the thing is, this is a lovely studio, Ben, and I will buffer until you get to the correct thing you want.
You're doing a good job.
Oh, thanks, man. It's been such a lovely interview I'm having with you.
Okay.
There we go.
Last year, I was fortunate enough to be a judge in the Sports Industry Awards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's various categories and there's various things. And for me, the judging process was fascinating because I got to learn what South African sport is.
Yeah.
What the brands do, what the federations are involved in, all that kind of stuff. Some good, some bad.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things was Development Program of the Year. Now, there was Connect Community Rugby, right? Now, Connect Sport, what they do is it started off very small. Basically, they're looking to get kids in college to play rugby.
Mm-hmm.
It's grown a little bit now. Next week, I'm actually going down to Cape Town to go meet the guys.
Okay.
I'm pretty compelled by this whole thing. And mm-hmm. I don't want to just be the guy who's going, for killers are doers.
Yeah.
This guy, this. I want to actually find out about this. And I want to keep talking about this.
Yeah.
I think we all should. Anyway, they won Best Development Program of the Year, right? And with mm-hmm. that, they got a cash sum and they can go into the next level.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, these guys aren't affiliated to SARU in any way whatsoever. They're not really given any government subsidy whatsoever, nothing. The only funding they get is that they try to appeal to overseas companies to help them out. Private sector's not helping them. No one's helping them. But now you've got kids who normally could grow up in college doing who knows what.
Yeah.
They're practicing established rugby schools, Bishops, Rondebosch.
Access.
They let them use the fields. They're getting coaching clinics. I'm not talking about token clinics
yeah.
where you get Chester Williams rocking up, signing some autographs and teaching the kids how to pass left and right. Every week they're going back, okay? And it's not just about rugby. They're teaching about nutrition. Like, what's the point of trying to develop a rugby player if he's one meal a day?
Yeah.
So they're teaching the whole spectrum, right? Now, going forward, I'm going to have more of these podcasts where I just talk about transformation. I think it's a good topic because we need to really work this thing.
But you see, that example that you've given now is such a perfect example of access. Like,
access.
Those kids now have – they know what rugby is. And, like, you find a kid who's really good at rugby who would have never have been good at rugby because he didn't even know what it was because
mm-hmm.
he didn't have access to it. And then you get something like that, and then you see that program will develop something good in the future.
Exactly. So if you just look at it, they've got seniors and juniors. So now the senior guys, they go to Hamilton Rugby Club
mm-hmm.
in Greenpoint there, and they're playing for senior teams. These guys are playing in sevens tournaments where teams are coming up and they're beating schools like Sachs, Weinberg.
There we go.
Who've always had players, always had fields, always had resources.
Yeah.
Suddenly you got guys who are not just interacting and playing, they're competing and they're winning.
Yeah.
And it didn't take a lot, huh? There's a couple of really passionate people who are doing this. And this isn't a plug to them. I'm not being paid by them. But people are saying, how's this going to change? You know, and they're all going, it's too difficult. Let's just do this. It can happen.
It can
is happening.
Yeah.
It needs to be supported.
Wow, that is so impressive.
So Connect Sports, they understand this whole thing. And if we really want to be involved in transformation, they've even got a thing there where you can donate and you can basically sponsor a player for a year. It's going to cost you, you know, I will tweet this and you've got to get onto it. So you can actually fund a player for the entire year. If you want to put some money behind a player, you can fund them. And again, it's like transport. Kids have got to get there. They've got to have resources. They've got to be able to play in jerseys, that kind of stuff. They need nutrition, right? They need education.
But this is something government should totally get behind
exactly.
and start doing more.
Because people are doing it. All you need to do is just plug in funds.
Yes.
You only have
to plug in funds.
We've got a million. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Enjoy yourself.
And so I'm going to go and meet some of these guys.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm going to go hang out with them, see exactly how this thing is working. And you know, if you just go onto their Facebook account, Connect Sports Academy, go onto their website. Just see what's happening here. There's some amazing pictures of kids that are just playing, and you can see having the time of their
lives. Please tweet the link so I can also tweet about it.
Shall do something. It's something that, when you look at all the negativity around this, and then you look at this and you go,
it's the glimmer of hope.
Maybe it's not such an impossible dream after all.
Yeah. Wow.
Simi, thanks so much for being my guest
today. Thank you, Ben.
And I'd like to have more conversations around this. If you've got a guest that you would like me to interview, I'm happy to talk about anything, really. So if you've got a guest, just mail me, ben@thebalance.co.za. And I will happily take it up with people. I would like to talk to someone in politics at some stage. I know they've got very busy schedules of things and stuff, but I will try. If you are listening and you want to engage me on this topic as well, or you think that I've missed the point on a few things here or there, feel free. I'm always open to discussion. Tweet me at @followthebounce. And Simi, you can be found on?
@SimiArif on Twitter.
Very, very good. Thanks for joining me. And transformation is the way forward. If we can access all the talent in South Africa, New Zealand will be cucking themselves, along with all the other teams. That is my finishing thought to all of this. Catch you next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.